And if we were still expanding, we would have to still use them, because we couldn't do it with human soldiers, not for long. And we're built to expand. We've been expanding for more than 2,000 years, and to stop will mean completely changing what we are. Right now, most people don't see that, don't care. They won't until it affects their lives directly. And for most people, it doesn't yet. It's an abstract question, except to people like Captain Vell.
But Captain Vell's opinion is meaningless, said Savardin. So is anyone else's. The Lord of the Roch has decided for whatever reason, and it's foolish to go around saying anything against it.
She might decide otherwise if persuaded, answered Skyot. All of us still standing. I was too tense to sit. Savardin too agitated. Skyot, I thought, angry. Douse Kate, standing frozen, trying to pretend she wasn't hearing any of this. Or the decision might be a sign that the Lord of the Roch has been corrupted in some way. Captain Vell's sort certainly doesn't approve of all the talking with aliens we've been doing. The Roch has always stood for civilization, and civilization has always meant pure, uncorrupted humanity. Actually dealing with non-humans instead of just killing them can't be good for us.
Is that what that business at Ime was about? Asked Savardin,
who had clearly spent our walk here thinking about this.
Someone decided to set up a base and stockpile ancillaries and what? Force the issue? You're talking about rebellion, treason. Why would anyone be talking about something like that now? Unless when they got the people responsible for Ime, they didn't get everyone. And now they're letting a few people put their heads up and make some noise, and once they think everyone involved has identified themselves.
She was openly angry now. It was a fairly good guess. It might well be more or less right. Depending on which Anander had the upper hand here.
Why didn't you warn us?
I tried, citizen, but I ought to have spoken more directly. Even so, I wasn't sure Captain Vell had gone so far. All I knew was that she idealized the past in a way I can't agree with. The noblest, most well-intentioned people in the world can't make annexations a good thing. Arguing that ancillaries are efficient and convenient isn't, to me, a point in favor of using ancillaries. It doesn't make it better, it only makes it look a little cleaner. And that, only if you ignored what ancillaries were to begin with. Tell me... I almost said, tell me, Lieutenant, but caught myself in time. Tell me, Inspector Supervisor, what happens to the people waiting to be made into ancillaries?
Some are still in storage, or on troop carriers, Skyot said. But most have been destroyed.
Well, that makes it all better, then, I said seriously, evenly.
Our was against it from the start, said Skyot. She meant the continual expansion, not any expansion at all. And the Roch had used ancillaries long before Anander Mi and I had made herself into what she was. There just hadn't been quite so many of them.
Our's lords have said so to the Lord of the Roch repeatedly.
But the lords of our haven't refused to profit from it. I kept my voice even, pleasant.
It's so easy to go along with things, isn't it? Skyot said. Especially when, as you say, it profits you.
She frowned then and cocked her head slightly, listened a few seconds to something only she could hear, looked questioningly at me, at Savardin.
Station security is at the door, asking for a citizen Savardin.
Asking was certainly more polite than the reality.
Excuse me a moment.
She stepped into the corridor, followed by Douse Kate. Savardin looked at me, oddly calm.
I'm beginning to wish I were still frozen in my escape pod.
I smiled, but apparently it didn't convince her.
Are you all right? You haven't been all right since we left that Velosk person. Damn Skyot Hour for not speaking more directly. Usually you can't get an hour to stop saying unpleasant things. She picks now to be discreet.
I'm fine, I lied. As I spoke, Skyot returned with a citizen in the light brown of station security, who bowed and said to Savardin,
Citizen, will you and this person come with me?
The courtesy was of course merely a form. One didn't refuse station security's invitations. Even if we tried, there were reinforcements outside, placed there to make sure we didn't refuse. They wouldn't be station security, those people who had followed us from Captain Vell's meeting. They would be special missions, or even Anander Mianai's own guard. The Lord of the Roch had put all the pieces together and decided to remove me before I could do any serious damage. But it was almost certainly too late for that. All of her was paying attention. The fact that she'd sent station security to arrest me, and not some special missions officer to kill me quickly and quietly, told me that.
Of course, Savardin answered, all calm courtesy.
Of course. She knew she was innocent of any wrongdoing. She was sure I was special missions and working for Anander herself. Why should she worry? But I knew that finally the moment had come. The omens that had been in the air for 20 years were about to come down and show me, show Anander Mianai, what pattern they made. This security officer didn't even twitch an eyebrow as she answered,
The Lord of the Roch wishes to speak with you privately, citizen.
Not a glance at me. She likely didn't know why she'd been sent to escort us to the Lord of the Roch, didn't realize I was dangerous, that she needed the backup that awaited us out in the station's corridors, if she even knew it was there. The gun still sat under my jacket, and extra magazines tucked here and there, wherever the bulge wouldn't show. Anander Mianai almost certainly didn't know what I intended.
Is this my audience I requested, then? Asked Savardin.
The security officer gestured ambiguity.
I couldn't say, citizen.
Anander Mianai couldn't have known my object in coming, knew only that I had disappeared some 20 years ago. Part of her might know that she'd been aboard my last voyage, but none of her could know what had happened after I'd gated out of Shiserna's system.
I did ask, said Inspector Supervisor Skyot, if you might have tea and supper first.
The fact she'd asked said something about her relationship with security. The fact she'd been refused said something about the urgency behind this arrest. It was an arrest, I was sure. Security, oblivious, made an apologetic gesture. My orders, Inspector Supervisor, citizen.
Of course, said Skyot, smooth and unruffled, but I knew her, heard worry hidden in her voice.
Citizen Savardin, honored Breck, if there's any assistance I can provide, please don't hesitate to call on me.
Thank you, Inspector Supervisor, I said and bowed.
My fear and uncertainty, my near panic, drained away. The omen, stillness, had flipped, become movement, and justice was about to land before me, clear and unambiguous. The security officer escorted us not to the main entrance of the palace proper, but into the temple, quiet at this hour when many people were visiting, or sitting home with family and a bowl of tea. A young priest sat behind the now half-empty baskets of flowers, bored and sullen. She gave us a resentful glance as we entered, but didn't even turn her head as we passed. We went through the main hall, four-armed Amat looming, the air still smelling of incense and the heap of flowers at the god's feet and knees, back to a tiny chapel tucked into a corner, dedicated to an old and now obscure provincial god, one of those personifications of abstract concepts so many pantheons hold. In this case, a deification of legitimate political authority. No doubt when the palace had been built, there had been no question of this god's placement next to Ahmat. But she seemed to have fallen out of favor, the demographic of the station, or perhaps just fashion, having changed. Or perhaps something more ominous had caused it. In the wall behind the image of the god, a panel slid open. Behind it, an armed and armored guard, her weapon holstered, but not far from her hand. Silver smooth armor covering her face. Ancillary, I thought, but there was no way to be sure. I wondered, as I had occasionally over the past 20 years, how that worked. Surely the palace proper wasn't guarded by station. Were Anandar Mianai's guards just another part of herself? Saevardhan looked at me, irritated, and I thought, a bit afraid. I didn't think I raided the secret entrance. Though it probably wasn't all that secret, just slightly less public than the one outside on the concourse. The security officer made that ambiguous gesture again, but said nothing. Well, I said, and Saevardhan gave me an expectant look. Clearly, she thought this was due to whatever special status she had decided I had. I stepped through the door, past the unmoving guard, who didn't acknowledge me at all, nor Saevardhan coming behind me. The panel slid shut behind us. Chapter 21. Beyond the short stretch of blank corridor, another door opened onto a room 4 meters by 8, its ceiling 3 meters above. Leafy vines snaked across the walls, trailing from supports rising from the floor. Pale blue walls suggested vast distances beyond the greenery, making the room feel larger than it was, the last vestige of a fashion for false vistas. More than 500 years out of date. At the far end, a dais, and behind it, images of the 4 emanations hung in the vines. On the dais stood Anandar Mianai. 2 of her. The Lord of the Roch was so curious about us, she wanted more than one part of herself here to question us, I guessed. Though likely, she had rationalized it to herself some other way. We walked to within 3 meters of the Lord of the Roch, and Saevardhan knelt, and then prostrated herself. I was supposedly not Rodchai, not subject to Anandar Mianai. But Anandar Mianai knew, she had to know, who I really was. She hadn't summoned us this way without knowing. Still, I didn't kneel or even bow. Neither Mianai betrayed any surprise or indignation at this.
"Citizen Saevardhan Vendai," said the Mianai on the right. "What exactly do you think you're playing at?"
Saevardhan's shoulders twitched, as though, face down on the floor, she had momentarily wanted to cross her arms. The Mianai on the left said,
"Justice of Torin's behavior has been alarming and perplexing enough, just on its own. Entering the temple and defiling the offerings. Whatever could you have meant by it? What am I to say to the priests?"
The gun still lay against my side under my jacket, unremarked. I was an ancillary. Ancillaries were notorious for their expressionless faces. I could easily keep from smiling.
"If my lord pleases," said Saevardhan, into the pause that followed Anandar Mianai's words.
Her voice was slightly breathy, and I thought maybe she was hyperventilating slightly.
"What? I don't..."
The Mianai on the right let out a sardonic ha.
"Citizen Saevardhan is surprised and doesn't understand me," that Mianai continued. "And you, Justice of Turin? You intended to deceive me. Why?" "When I first suspected who you were," said the Mianai on the left before I could answer, "I almost didn't believe it. Another long-lost omen fetching up at my feet.
I watched you to see what you would do, to try to understand what you were intending by your rather extraordinary behavior.